Now let us turn in the Word of God to Judges 15, Judges chapter 15, verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And their father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. I and Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. Then the Philistines said, Who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Etam. Amen. May God bless his word. We've already looked at this passage, the first couple of verses of this portion of God's Word, and we have sought to learn some of the lessons concerning this bitter revenge that Samson seeks to take from the Philistines. And we saw how he returns and he wants to go back to his, as it were, his life as usual. As a husband, he wants to go and thinks that he can simply take back the woman that he had left behind, whom he had sought to marry. But things have changed. The plan that Samson had did not work out. It was very disappointing for him. And we saw that in verse 1, how when he goes, he takes even a present. And the father says, No, you can't have my daughter. Look at how you've treated her. The way you have dealt with her is as if you have hated her. You have despised her. And why would I want you to be my son-in-law? You will not care for her. So this is a natural understanding of this man. And he thinks to himself, well, if it is beginning like this, how will it end? So that is something we saw. Samson had his plan and he faced this matter. He faced this difficulty. He then faced a challenge about this sister of another sister who was to be fairer. That is, she was more beautiful than her. And the father proposes and says, have her instead. I know what kind of a man you are. You really are a sensual man. And so you're all for outward looks and such things. And so why not have the younger sister who is more beautiful? And again, we thought of the fact that what an impression Samson must have left upon these people to for them to think of him not as a judge of Israel, not as a godly man, but as a sensual man, and how sad it is. and so we looked at that, and we looked at various other things about the life of a Christian, the life of a child of God, how we ought to live our lives, and the matter of revenge we looked at as well. In verses 3 onwards, we sought to see and learn something of Samson. And where we left off was that of his motivation. In verse 3, we read, And Samson said concerning them, Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. So he becomes angry, and he seeks to go and hurt the Philistines. Now, he should have done that as a judge, as a protector, and as a savior of the Lord's people. But we saw that his motives here was wrong. So outwardly, someone looks at his life and says, well, he is valiant for God, valiant for truth. Here is a great leader now that Israel has found and God has raised him up. But actually, his motive was selfish motive. And he says, this is what I'm going to do. Now, shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure? I am the good person. I'm the better person here. So the motives were wrong, even though it should have happened for the glory of God. And we looked at that the last time. But then look further for this evening, verses 4 onwards, where we see the way Samson goes about this, the way he goes to seek revenge. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands, that is, torches, and turned tail to tail and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burnt up both the shocks, that's the sheaves, the stack of sheaves that they would have piled up, and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. So he is determined. He's determined out of selfish reasons, not out of a God-glorifying motive, to exact his revenge against the Philistines. And so he catches 300 foxes. He goes, have you ever sought to catch one fox? I have done it just once. But if you have sought to catch 300 of these foxes, do you see the effort he goes into? How much selfishness and hatred he must have had in his heart to spend so much effort to go about doing these things. And then he catches these poor foxes, which would most likely have been the jackals that would have been in Israel, in large packs. There would have been kind of within that variety of animals. It would have been a species between foxes and jackals. There isn't exactly the kind of foxes that we have in our minds in Israel at the time. And what he does, so this is a large pack of them, he catches, he then ties their tails together. He ties them tail to tail, making 150 pairs of these animals. And then he ties, here it says that he ties firebrands, or it's in the margin, if you have your margins, the translators have also given another rendering, which is torches, he puts, fiery torches, burning torches between their tails, and he then sets them free. And these terrified animals, they run through the wheat fields and the olive groves and the vineyards, and they burn them all, and they are destroyed. And remember what time of the year this was. In verse 1, we read that it was the wheat harvest. Here were these fields were set on fire from what? Actually, the fire was burning in Samson's heart. That's where it was. That was the origin of it. The fire of revenge was the thing that burned within Samson's heart. He's upset about losing his wife, but he is still hurt from what the Philistines did to him at his wedding feast. He can't let it go. It's something that has taken hold of him. Have you ever been in that situation? Something has taken hold of you. Something that someone has said has been very hurtful. And you go on and you can't get it out of your mind. It is eating away at you. You can't sleep. You are constantly thinking about it. Your mind is drawn to it constantly. But here is a man who's burning with this. And he has just have to have his revenge. And that's what he does. Destruction. He doesn't go after the father, but he goes after these Philistines. And then, yet, in the midst of it all, he loses the plot. He has not thought through the issue. He goes after his passionate revenge, and he has not thought through. He miscalculates. He misjudges. And that's what happens to us, doesn't it? He doesn't realize what is going to be the outcome of this. How many times we have done something, we have said something, and we have not thought through the consequences, and And we have said, oh, that serves them right. But then a day, 2 days, a month later, we will see certain consequences. And this is what we see in verse 6. And the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. So what we see here, Samson has his revenge. He has emptied himself. He is now happy, we might think. He has done mischief. He has done what he could to hurt these Philistines. And he probably thinks that that will be the end of the matter. My friends, revenge never ends. Just you go from one thing to another. And if you think of it, it is a terrible miscalculation on Samson's part. Various people are going to get hurt severely, even losing their lives. The Philistines are obviously upset by the loss of their crops, the loss of the wheat, the loss of the olives, the loss of their vineyards. And so they want to find out who's done this. Now they want to retaliate. The whole snowball is getting bigger and bigger. And they ask around. They go around. It says in verse 6, then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, the people who knew about this, they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And so that is what they find. They are told it's Samson who is responsible. And these men were not godly men themselves. We can't expect from the world for them to act like a Christian, for them to act like a godly person, for them to not lose their cool and not to lose their temper. The ungodly will lose their temper. The ungodly will retaliate. Where do wars come about? One begins to take advantages and another country comes and so on. The whole thing escalates. And being wicked, being selfish men themselves, they're instantly filled with thoughts of vengeance. However, they don't attack Samson. Again, these are cowards. Samson was a coward himself. At this point, they don't go after Samson. They don't hurt Samson and attack him to his face, but they attack like the cowards they are and try to attack Samson through others. And so they take the woman he married and her father and they burn them alive. And probably they shut them up inside the family home and burn them to death. And so this is a terrible scene. It is a picture of the fall of man. This is what man does. This is what sin does in people's lives. Revenge is a picture of sin, what it does to man. It is self-destructive. It destroys the person who takes the revenge, because the person who takes the revenge is unholy. That is why God says, vengeance is mine. He is the only one who can take vengeance, because he's holy. He's just. He's fair. He's right. And it showcases the truth that revenge has the tendency to escalate. Someone does or says something about us. How do you respond to that? It's very easy to not to respond either by a word of mouth, either to write a note to them or do something, or to simply keep silence, not greet them, not shake their hand, to bypass them, to go other side of the road, to simply ignore them. That's another way of retaliating. Silence. And maybe if you're a husband or wife, you've done that. The silent treatment. And that's a kind of revenge. So we respond either by action or words. And they respond back as well. Those who are then hurt by us, they respond back with even harsher actions and words. And so it goes on till lives are ruined, until relationships are so broken that it is so difficult to heal those relationships, until it goes on, until reputations are ruined and relationships are forever shattered. Friends, it's never God's will for any one of us to take the matter into our own hand and say, I will deal with this matter. They've done this, so I will retaliate. I will do this. It's never God's will for us to seek revenge against those who hurt us. Well, there are people who say, well, I have to defend my honor. And so they say, well, if I'm attacked, well, if I don't respond, that shows me to be weak. And so they find it difficult to let it go and bring the matter to the Lord. And Samson thought this way. Again, there is no mention of prayer here. There is no mention of coming to the Lord. There is no mention of him going to seek the will of God and the word of God. And so most people are very quick to rise up against those who attack them, and they attack back with an extra measure of violence and vengeance. And that, my friends, is not God's plan for his children. So when we are attacked, we must never attack back, but we must bring that person before God. We should bring our own heart before the Lord. We have to ask ourselves, why have they done this? Is there any fault in me that has stirred things up? To attack back, to do that puts us on the same level as those who attack us. Those who attack others, those who spread rumors, those who spread gossip to retaliate and to get back on someone. That's another way to do it. Those who try to ruin reputations. And James tells us that is like killing them. That's like murdering them. They get to the lowest of the low. And that kind of a thing tarnishes our testimony. And it is a bad witness against Christ and his gospel. We say that it is the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes and transforms lives. But if we are retaliating and attacking, what does that do to that message? Has our hearts changed? To those who attack others, do not obey what the Lord says about loving our neighbors, loving our enemies. But what we are doing, we are walking in hatred. And to do so, it reveals something. It goes back to pride of our hearts. So many things that you look at, the reactions of people, the sinful attitudes of people, it goes back to the pride matter. Those who attack think they are right and everyone else is wrong. And these are people who are walking in pride. That was the case with Samson. He was a proud man. So the words he says, the things that he's thinking about, and the selfishness that there is telling you, it's shouting at you, here is a proud man called Samson. And when we attack people back, we are no better than they are. We are also walking in pride as well. So you can say, well, that, you know, my wife is proud in this situation. My husband is proud, and that's why he does this, or she does this, or this person at school, or this person, my brother is like this. What a proud man you can be. And then you retaliate. Well, that's just telling you that you're as bad as well. You're prideful as well. Because we are saying, the proud man is saying, life is about me. My thoughts, my will, what I want, it's not about the will of God for our lives. So how are we supposed to respond when we are attacked? How can we learn lessons from Samson and also these Philistines? It's the opposite we have to learn. Well, we'll think about this in a second. So what we saw in verse 1, Samson goes back. He goes with his plan. He has his mindset. This is what he wants to do. There's no mention of the will of God. He thinks all will be well, even though he left everything irresponsibly, and then he faces these challenges, and then he retaliates. He goes after the Philistines. The Philistines come after him, and then what do we see? In verses 7 and 8, we see again, one more time, Samson's rage. So they respond by burning the father and his wife. And in verse 7, you read, "And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Eton." So when he hears about the death of his wife and her family, he takes things to the next level. The violence just continues to get bigger and bigger. It escalates. So look at what he does. His rage and rampage. Verse 8, there we see his retaliation. It says that he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. This is a reference to, basically what he's saying is that it's a total and absolute slaughter. He murdered them all. He killed them all. He didn't leave anyone alive amongst those Philistines. Samson killed them. He didn't stop until they were all dead. He got the ultimate revenge against his enemies. He took their lives. Friends, often this world seeks to seeks retaliation in the same way. And you see, you hear this happening in the world. You hear it happening in various cities, and you see various criminals who attack, maybe someone attacks a family, and they in turn attack that family, and death comes as a result of it among some. And when we hear sometimes certain things in the news, maybe within family circles, maybe it hasn't resulted in death, but certain things has happened, and you didn't have a good view of a certain individual, and you see something happening in their life, and then you might say, well, I don't blame that person retaliating like this. I don't blame them doing this to so and so. If I was like that, if I was in that situation, I would do the same. Or maybe you are seeking to counsel someone. Maybe you're sitting down with a person, and they're telling you about how they've been treated, and then what was their response? And then to comfort them, you would say to them, well, if I was in your place and experiencing such bullying, I would also do the same back. And you're trying to comfort, but actually it is not a helpful thing. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, not says you. And so when we think that way of saying, well, I would do the same thing, we are revealing that revenge is a part of our makeup. We are revealing that the truth that we are not above a little getting even ourselves. It is just the grace of God, friends. It's only the grace of God that keeps us from acting on those desires. It is only the grace of God that keeps us from acting upon the flesh. That's why the scripture says we must mortify, put to death the deeds of the flesh. What we've been talking about, what we see here, is the deeds of the flesh being let loose. And the apostle says, put it to death. You go after that. You don't go after taking revenge. You don't go after murdering people. But you murder the deeds of the flesh. That's what you do. We are told, I was reading an article by some brain specialist, that there is a part of the brain that produces feelings of pleasure and satisfaction even, that is stimulated when the act of revenge takes place. They were saying it's actually, it gives pleasure to people. It gives satisfaction in getting even with others. It's part of, we could say, part of our human nature and makeup. It is, the wording was in that article, it is hardwired into us. And that is why we see so much revenge taking place. You see it amongst children who are not taught about it, but they do it automatically. And you see people, adults, who just simply let things go, and they just lose their mind and do unmentionable thing. It is the sinful flesh acting. And for the child of God, we are called to walk after Christ. We put off the old man, we put on the new man. We put to death the deeds of the flesh. And that happens not just once, not just twice, but every day. This is what happens. You're taking off some things as you take off your clothes, and then you put on the clothes for the day. You put on Christ. Now, just to look at one or two other things before we finish. In verse 7, you see Samson thinking through why he's going to do this. And in verse 8, he fulfills it. The thought process had gone through his mind. And Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. Here, Samson's reasons for seeking revenge are purely selfish again. And that's what we have in the language here. Again, he doesn't mention the Lord. He doesn't mention the nation of Israel. He doesn't mention the injustices of the Philistines towards the people of God. There's no mention of God's will. There's no mention of God's glory. There's no mention of the Lord's name. All Samson can think of is himself. I will be avenged of you. And that's the main problem with revenge. It has nothing to do with the Lord. It is all about us. And our pride is hurt. Our feelings are wounded. We feel the need to get even. It is all about us and how we feel about what has been done to us. And that's Samson's problem, and that's everyone's problem here. But God has a better way, friend. The better way is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The better way is found in the Prince of Peace, our Lord himself. Instead of taking matters, let me just highlight a few points. Instead of taking matters into your hands, and when you are tempted to to respond and to retaliate in different circumstances that you are in, and we all face it in some situation. We are to leave them in God's hand. Instead of taking matters into your hands, we are to leave those things into God's hand, who says that He will avenge. In Romans 12, verses 17 to 21, let me read it to you. The Lord says, "Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So, it's basically saying, do good, leave the matter in the Lord's hand. Don't take it into your own hand. Don't say, I'll fix this, I know what I'm going to do. I know how to make that person be put in his place. Another thing is this. Instead of attacking those who attack us, pray for them. Love them, as we read. Love them and be good to them. This is not a positive thinking idea. This is not a psychological thing. It is the word of God. In Matthew 5 and verse 44, this is what the Lord says. And this is the issue we have. If you do this in the strength of the flesh, you will fail. You do it in a miserable fashion. You do it cheerlessly. You do it just so that your conscience is at ease. And you say, well, I'm a Christian, I should do this. But if you do it for the Lord, because it is the will of God, because you want to please Him, because of the one who died for you, and you want to then obey Him, then it doesn't matter what those people respond, the way they might respond, or how you might be feeling. This is what the Lord says. But I say unto you, love your enemies. How can you do this? Only by the grace of God. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. When was it last time did you pray for those who have really hurt you, those who have abused you and misused you and badly treated you? That's what the Lord is saying. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So instead of God pouring His fire and brimstone upon those who are blaspheming His name, what does He do? He sends the sunshine upon them. He sends the rain to bless them, both on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So that is another response. This is another answer to revenge. What would God would have you to do? This is what He would want you to do. Pray for your enemies, love them, and seek to do them good. Another point is this. Instead of seeking revenge, we should thank the Lord that we've been counted worthy to suffer with Him. We should thank the Lord that we have been counted worthy to suffer with Him. It's a privilege in one sense. Again, in Matthew 5 and verses 10 through to 12, this is what we read. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You are not being persecuted because of your response in a certain thing, because you lashed out with your words, and then the person then retaliates. It's not because of that. But the Lord is saying, because you've been living a holy life, because you've been living a Christian life. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. And then he says, for my sake. Those are the key words. For my sake. And then he says, this is what you should do. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. How can you do that when you've just been hurt? How can you do that when people have said abusive things against you? Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. It's because of the Lord, not because of the circumstance, not because of the situation, because you are going to heaven. This is only temporary. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. My friends, it is in one sense easy to talk about these things. It is easy to talk about these things. It is easy to hear it if you have not been in that kind of a situation. But to be in it and then putting these things into practice shows the grace of God. In Acts 5 and verse 41 we read, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." And then finally, instead of attacking others, we should do what we have been commanded by the Lord to do, is to pray for them, especially pray for a repentant heart. Pray for a repentant heart, that God would cause them repentance, bring them to repentance, that would break them and melt their hearts. That's what we should do. And if they come to us to ask for forgiveness, then we must forgive. In Luke 17 and verses 1 onwards, we read this. "Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him." So if he trespasses, you are allowed to rebuke. You are allowed to give a word of admonition. But then it says, "And if, as a result of this, if he repents, then we must forgive. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." And then what you have, the apostles are amazed. They can't understand this. They can't take it in. They can't compute it in their mind. Well, how am I going to do this? Is this possible? To do such a thing. Is it possible? And so they say unto the Lord, that's the response they give to that, is increase our faith, they say. They don't know how they're going to do this, but they say increase our faith, so we may. So in conclusion, in this section, this episode of Samson's life, what it teaches us, if it teaches us anything, it teaches us that revenge is a game played by fools. Wise men know when to walk away and to leave matters in the hands of the sovereign God, who will one day settle all accounts and balance all the books. We never get even when we seek revenge. All we do is to make problems worse for us and for everyone else involved. How much better it is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ than like Samson. Here is what the scripture says about the Lord. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Well, has the Lord spoken to you from this? Is there anyone that you need to forgive? Are there some things that you need to let go and let it be in the hand of the Lord? Do you need to repent of some retaliation? I certainly do. Even evil thoughts, even gossip, even tainting someone's name, is that something you must repent of? Do you need to turn away from vengeance, from a hateful heart, a heart that wouldn't be friendly towards people? Well, God has sent us this word for a purpose. I need to hear it, you need to hear it, and so let us, by God's grace, seek to obey it, what God speaks to us today. May the Lord then bless his word. Amen.